real quick. So just keep trusting in God and keep praying for him and for them, and see what happens down the road. If beats us, I win either way. So that's a good attitude to have. So let's have prayer, and Bill Spahn, would you lead that prayer, please? Can you hear me now, Jeff? He's not looking. That's all right. Okay, we made it to the 9th chapter. And I'll probably finish that out in a few minutes. And then Brother Lee will be taking over in chapter 10, 11, and 12. So been appreciating all the comments and the participation that everybody's been giving us in class. I think you get people talking, you get them to thinking, and that's when we really learn. That's my opinion, so whatever that's worth. So, now to the Gospel of John, chapter 9. I did get another computer with updated operating system, so things might be better next time, if there's a next time. Review. Of course, in the previous chapter, we talked about Jesus and the adulterous woman, and Jesus being the light of the world, had some good discussion about that, and then, of course, how the truth makes you free. And then we started into the chapter 9 with healing of the man born blind, and that was quite interesting, talking about what the Jewish leaders were trying to do. Of course, we know all along they've been trying to get a hold of him and kill him, do away with him, because he's ruining their controlling efforts of the people. So they're trying to give him a bad time over healing this blind man because he healed him on the Sabbath. So Jesus comes back with, all right, it's okay to circumcise someone on the Sabbath, but it's not okay to make someone holy, whole and well again on the Sabbath. And so they kind of go back and forth. And all through here, Jesus is trying to get them to realize something. They can hear him talking, but they're not really listening. Or they're listening to what he's listening to his sound, but they're not getting, they're not hearing what he's trying to say. And it works all the way down through here with that. It's kind of like little brother gets up in the morning and starts down the hallway to the bathroom to wash his face and get woke up, and here comes little sister running down the hallway and into the bathroom, closed the door. So he bangs on the door and says, come on, I need in there. Oh, won't be long. Hang on. Well, what does he know? He knows he might as well go back to bed, because she's going to be there for at least an hour, right? It's okay. Sorry, ladies, but I've seen that happen a lot of times. But anyway, she hears him knocking, but he can't come in. She's not listening to him. She's ignoring it. Go away. I'll be done in a little while. So this is kind of the way it is with these guys. Jesus is talking to them, trying to get them to realize something. They hear him talking, but they're not listening. They're not getting it. And a lot of that is because of their preconceived ideas, their preconceived wants. They're just trying to find any way they can to trap him and find a reason to get rid of him. So it's been an interesting study from that standpoint. So there's quite a controversy over him. And verse 13, they said they brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind. That was the Sabbath, on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. We went through that, and then the Jews did not believe it of him that he had been blind and had received sight. So they called his parents. Parents come and they ask him, what's going on here? And it ends up the parents say, he is of age, ask him. If you want to know something about him, ask him. So that kind of left it with them there. So that wasn't good enough. They decided to cause more problems. So in verse 24, he says, so the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He then answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. And they can't get past that. He knows what happened to him. He's sticking to it. And they can't get him to change his story. So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And then he tells them again. He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? I've told you a couple of times, and you still want to hear it again? So they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from. And Jesus was talking about that previously too, wasn't he? He says, I'm from above, you're from below. Meaning what? He's from heaven, he's from God. God sent him. But where are they from? They're down here, they're from Satan. They're from man's ideas, man's ways, so forth. So trying to show the difference there. And it wasn't a prideful comment on Jesus' part. He just relating, we're from two different worlds. And in their minds, they were from two different worlds, weren't they? Jesus trying to get them to get more spiritual in their thoughts, but there everything is physical with them. So then we know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he's from. The man answered and said to them, well, here is an amazing thing that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. So there's an interesting statement there. You saw what happened. You know what happened. You see me here, and yet you don't know where he's from. It doesn't make sense. You don't get the picture. Can you see that? It's interesting that they're just so blinded that they can't see what the truth is. So we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born entirely in sin and you are teaching us. So they put him out. So they're just getting tougher and tougher, but it's not going to do them any good, is it? So it's interesting just how hard-headed they are and how blind they are. Yes. Oh, yeah.
He made an inescapable argument. You know, just avoid the argument completely.
Yeah. And again, talking about listening. And when we're talking to someone, trying to straighten them out on something, they may be looking at us, seeing our lips move, shaking their head like they're listening and so forth. But what are they doing really? What's going on in here? They're thinking of their rebuttal. Okay, what can I say to go against what he's saying? And that happens a lot. And like Bill was saying, they're not listening. I mean, it's anything they can do to put him down, insult him, whatever it is, get him irritated. And same thing they're trying to do with Jesus. So, yeah, it's interesting how hard-headed people can be. Anything else? Oh, Lauren. Yeah, and it's took quite a bit of guts, if I can use that word, to do that, didn't it? Because we think, like we've said before, so many of the people may have believed, but they were afraid to say anything about it or to come out in the open, if you will, because of the Jewish leaders that were trying to kill him. They didn't want to get in that same situation with them. So yeah, as there was always a few that followed. And what's interesting is, when Jesus was teaching, he wasn't like these politicians trying to get your votes nowadays. He'd go in the synagogue or somewhere and start talking to someone, and next thing you know, somebody else is there, and then someone else. And just all of a sudden, he's got a crowd. And some people wouldn't listen to what he's saying, but some would. Years ago, when I was in high school, I was in a head-on collision. Yeah, that's what's wrong. And I was in a little Renault, 59 Renault, if any of you older folks know what that is. And we were hit head on with a 60 Buick. He was doing about 50 and we were doing about 10. And we were just lucky that none of us were killed in the car. I had a gal with me and a couple little kids. But when the car landed, finally where it landed, it's like it was cloudy. And then all of a sudden, somebody appeared here. And somebody appeared there. And then somebody appeared. And my little, it was like people just popping up. And I thought, what's going on here? Where am I? And so this is kind of the way here. They weren't popping up, but Jesus just kept teaching and teaching, and people would start coming to hear. And here, what's he talking about? And go over and see what's going on and try to be part of it. And, of course, then have questions, I'm sure. So it wasn't like he was trying to hit him in the face with what he was trying to teach him. He just started talking, just teaching him, trying to get him to listen. And if they listened, they listened. If they didn't, they'd leave. But there were always a few leaders or whoever that would believe and follow him, like Lauren was saying. Bill Sr., you had your hand up.
You answered my comment for me.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Mike.
Yes. And stumbling over the fact that Jesus stood on the Sabbath, actually, they were using that as a pretext, because that if it's probably not from God, that person is a sinner.
Mm-hmm. Good comments. Just a minute, Bill. It's like Lauren was saying last week. At this point, he hasn't even seen Jesus. Jesus put the mud on his eyes. He went and washed. And yet, as of yet, he doesn't even know what Jesus looks like. But these guys are trying to get him to tell him, who is he? Where is he? What's he look like? And all this kind of stuff. He has no clue who he was and where he would be. Bill. Mm-hmm. What was Jesus always trying to do? He's trying to do God's will. Get people to listen to God's will. And the same thing with us today. Those of us who are true Christians are trying to put the truth out there, get people to realize this is what's true. This is what you need to listen to. And yet, like Bill says, the denominations is, well, yeah, it's amazing that they can look at the Bible, read what the words are and say, well, I know it says that, but I think, and then they go off track and you got what you got. So, yeah, that's, thank you, Bill. Good comments. And Linnea. Is that right?
Yeah. We do that division a lot.
But now you look at him and see what happened to him and what he's saying, you know, and no matter what he was, he's new now in ways. And that's a good point, because a lot of times we forget that we all were sinners at one time and we had to have help, just as this man got help, and everybody else is in the same boat. So thank you. Good comments. Anything else? Oh, Scott. Right, and we just need to remember that. I remember there used to be a brother that was, when he was younger, he was a sailor, liked to drink, fight, whatever else, and he's just a drunken sailor, but when he came to Christ, he turned his life around and preached for years and years and years. I think he's passed away now, if I remember right, but in my estimation, he was a good preacher. I mean, I heard some really good lessons from him. But it doesn't matter, like you say, where you are in life, we need Christ. Amen. And we have to realize that that's the only way to get to God. And Jesus tried to tell them that. I am the light. I am the way. And yet, they're so what's the word I'm going to use, Lee? They're so stuck in their own minds just for this one thing that, predisposed. They need to be disposed. Okay, Ed?
Stuck in your paradigm.
Yeah, stuck in the box Bill was talking about.
Just kind of amazed. Give them food. Mm-hmm. Give them money. One time when the guy tried to take it back and give Christ-like, I can't treat people mean.
Mm-hmm. There's a good way to handle those things, as well as a wrong way. I remember years ago, when we were in the old building, used to have people come in every so often, wanting help. Well, they were expecting to get some money. Some of them were expecting to get some money from you, but they needed gas for this or needed some food for them for whatever. But our guys were smart enough not to just hand them money, take them down and buy them food, or take them down and buy them gas, whatever. And right away, you'd know if they were really in need or not. If they said, oh, well, no, that's okay. We can make out, and they go on down the road looking for somebody else. So there's ways that you can kind of tell. Sometimes you can't. And you just got to be smart about it. Lee and then Mike.
There's an interesting part. We don't typically think of things that way.
Mm-hmm.
Christ was manipulating the situation to get them to crucify him.
Yeah. It just, everything was working one step at a time to get to the point that he was supposed to get to. And that's why he kept saying, my time is not yet. My time is not yet. My time has not come full or whatever it was. And so there was always a way to get away from the situation he was in because it wasn't time yet for him to go to the cross. So, yeah, that's a good thought. Mike.
And there's a principle involved here is what you're offended by, and I just don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to persist in doing what is good.
That can become a fine line sometimes, but yet good should always rule out. And so, yeah, that's a perfect example from Christ in those things. Yes.
The culture, shall I say,
mm-hmm.
rejecting what he is bring to their lives.
And yeah.
I think it tried to embolden to us.
Mm-hmm. It's the word. If the word is living in us, then that's who we really are. But there are times that you can see certain things going on in church, even if they call themselves the Church of Christ, that are against what the Word talks about. And so you can say, well, they're liberal or they're conservative or they're too conservative, whatever it is. But we get caught up in those things rather than really looking at the Word. Okay, what's Jesus say we need to be doing? And focus on those things instead of these side names and that kind of thing. But we have to be on guard, have to watch out for falsehood that can creep in too. Okay, good comments. Now, let's moving on quickly so Lee can get up here. Oh, come on. Jesus affirms his deity there in the end of the chapter. Jesus heard that they had put him out. In finding him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Now, up to this point, did he know who Jesus was? He had only heard his voice, right? So Jesus put mud on his eyes and told him to go wash, and he went and washed, and he could see. So he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking to you. Here I am, kind of thing. So now he's seeing Jesus, and things are starting to come through in his mind. And he said, Lord, I believe. He had the full picture now. And he worshipped him, and Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, we are not blind too, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, we see, your sin remains. How about that? Ed. Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to be a fly on the wall, as they say, and to see those things happening. Yeah, be great. Any other comments? Joel, did you have your hand up? Okay. Then we come down to the end here. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin, but since you say we see, your sin remains. So these guys, they don't really see. They think they do. They think they know what's the right thing, but they're so far down the track, they're off of it. Okay, I think this thing works there. So we have a conclusion. We started with Jesus' brothers' unbelief way back in chapter 7. Remember that? Of course, they eventually became believers. And then we went into the importance of the Feast of Tabernacles, which was a celebration of when they were in the wilderness and God took care of them, having to live in straw huts for 7 days and the things that they had to go through. And we talked about some of the specific rules, if you will, and regulations that were expected of them during that time. And we have people today talk about, oh, you people in the Church of Christ have too many rules. Well, we don't have too many rules. We have just what we need. And that's the way God worked it. But these people back here, they had some rules they'd better be taken care of. So it was a pretty good study there, too. Then Jesus in the temple teaching and amazing the people. And like somebody brought up earlier, he hadn't been to the seminary. He hadn't been going to school to learn all these things, but he was talking in such a way that he was knowledgeable. They couldn't believe, how's this man know all these things? How can he talk like he talks? It's just amazing. So, yeah, lots of stuff going on. Then they attempted to arrest him, and of course the time wasn't yet. Then the adulterous woman we talked about before, Jesus, the light of the world, truth making us free, and the healing of the blind man, and Jesus affirming his deity. So why do we study these things? To grow in faith. Been mentioned several times. The book of John is a faith-building book. It's a faith-building gospel. And if we take those things and look into them seriously, our faith will be built, won't it? Built up. We'll be stronger in our faith. So we started out, this was our premise for this study, Romans 15:4, those things written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So if we're not learning, we're not going to have that comfort, we're not going to have that patience that God wants us to have, we're not going to have a hope. So that's our whole purpose, to be here to learn, to get these things in our minds and get them into our lives, that we can be a godly people and pleasing to our Lord. Anything else before Lee takes over? Yes.
It's interesting that Lord was saying.
Yes, good comment. Yeah, there's so many ways we could go with this. But yeah, y'all have had some excellent comments, and I appreciate all the participation because I think we've learned a lot. I've learned a lot. I didn't start out considering myself the teacher of this class, just the leader. You people are the teachers. And so I think we teach each other. If we're studying like we should and learning like we should, we're teaching each other and uplifting each other the way we're supposed to be doing. And so thank you very much. Appreciate that. I'm going to see if I can turn this off here or whatever I got to do, and Jeff can take over and set Lee up. That's probably not the right word, set him up. But any other comments before? Oh, yes, Don.
I think it's pretty amazing how Jesus really didn't say outright who he was to very many people, pretty much to the Samaritans.